Good morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very happy to come to New Life because there are so many old friends here to meet and to recollect. The days gone by. But for this morning, I thought I would pay tribute to one person, and that is Brother William Sia. He sits there in front on a wheelchair. All of you would know who he is. William was one of those who went out witnessing with me. And in those early days, there was a little hospital along Admiralty Road called View Road Hospital. Now you don't see it, but perhaps the building is still there. And William accompanied me to do ministry in that hospital. And the reason why we were able to go there was because the superintendent of the hospital was my former classmate. And so we went there to minister the word of God to those who for different reasons, they were kept there. And would you believe it? There were 10 of them who came to church in this auditorium and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for those days when we were able to go around this locality and find opportunities for witnessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, subsequently, there were also other ministries that have come up. There was a ministry to Sealing School with the Boys Brigade, and so on. There are too many to mention, and many of you have been involved with me in the outreaches of the gospel. And so I come to pay tribute to those who have gone with me, and particularly with William. As I see him there, he and I are of a similar vintage age, and he sits on a wheelchair earlier than I do. Well, one day I will have to be pushed by my wife on a wheelchair too. But by the grace of God, as long as I can stand and preach the word, I will continue to serve him. This morning we look at the title, which is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 14. John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 14. The Lord Jesus says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Ye are my friends. Jesus chose 12 friends, or 12 disciples, whom he called friends. They came mostly from the Galilean stock. They were fishermen, but there were others from different stations of civil life. But he had 12 of them, most of whom we know well, especially the Apostle Peter, who served the Lord Jesus until the end. And we do know that he gave his life for the Master. But at the same time, we are very sad and sorry, and for reasons only the Lord himself knows, that he chose Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus chose 12 disciples, and he charged them to take up the cross daily and follow me. And he says, the same thing to all of us today. Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so the call of Jesus is a call to friendship. And his life and ministry on earth in the 3.5 years was servanthood. He taught his disciples servanthood. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And the 12 disciples were to follow him and become servants of God. The call is made also to us today, that we are called to servanthood, and that we are to be disciples indeed, to serve the Master. He had not called us to be servants. He has called us to be disciples. I thought servanthood must follow another phrase, and that is the soldier of the cross. Jesus called his disciples to follow him to the end, until death. Was it possible for all of them to follow Jesus until then? Of course, we remember that Judas Iscariot was disillusioned, that Jesus never became the type of conqueror that he expected Jesus to be, not a humble servant. But he calls all of us to be soldiers of the cross. And this is how the Apostle Paul puts it. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. For the Apostle, his ministry and life was a big, big battle. As he went from country to country, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we too are called to do the same. We are called to be disciples. And so this morning, the message that I have for all of us comes from these words, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Ye are my friends. Friends of Jesus. What is true Christian friendship? I must say right from the beginning that I enjoyed my years serving in this church. And those who have been of my vintage, if you know what a vintage is. Vintage is means to be put on a shelf for people to admire. Of my vintage, let me say to you, our work is not done. We still got plenty to do. And while this area seems to be very crowded, and there may be other churches around, yet I think you too have a responsibility to your community. I've always been very proud of our ministry with Sealing amongst the Boys Brigade. By the way, I was Boys Brigade myself, for which I am very proud, because I rose to the rank of sergeant. Not too bad, because there's still staff sergeant, warrant officer, and so on. I thought being a sergeant was good enough. But my heart was with young men, young people in schools. How else can you penetrate the school except through the Boys Brigade? Let me remind you, don't give up the Boys Brigade ministry. It is a vital ministry for us to penetrate, to the school. You may find a principal who is not very happy to be a Christian or to help in the Christian ministry. But we thank God, the Boys Brigade is there, and you have every reason to bring them to church, if not more often, at least once a year for enrollment service, and the gospel is given to them. And who knows, the Spirit of God may save some unto Himself. And so this morning, I want to talk about true Christian friendship. I thank God that I have made many Christian friends here. I know that I've been away from this church for a long time, and many of you are new to me, and I cannot know your name and so on. But there are a few that I can recognize who have served with me in this church. And together we have gone out for various ministries. The Christian friendship that I had with you had always been in my heart. And I am here to share with you this Christian friendship. First of all, Christian friendship means that we share the same faith in God. Faith is a very vital essence of our Christian life. And if we share the same faith in God, we probably share the most important things in this life. And the reason will be the following. First of all, God is all good. We all believe that. We must grasp that fact that God is all good. He will not treat us as strangers. He will love us as friends. And so you and I must deepen this relationship with God. God is all good. God has created all things. You remember, in the beginning of Genesis, God saw everything that He has made, and behold, it was very good. Sometimes we read the book of Genesis without a clear understanding. Maybe we miss some words. But look at the verse again. God looked at everything that He has made, and it was good. No, it was very good. And I always love this very, because what God will do through you and for you will always be very good. We are all created in the image of God. And although we all look different, but we sometimes can say, oh, you are Dr. Patrick Tan's son. Have you met him before? If you have not, you look at somebody in the crowd, you'll notice my face there. My son is there. He looks quite like me. He's a little shorter than me, but he looks quite like me. We are all the sons and daughters of God, so we will show and exhibit that relationship. God is all good. He created us for Himself. We are made in the image of God. And so we share in the good, share in the faith in God and trust in God's goodness. God is good. We must trust in His goodness. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, says Proverbs, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. trust in God's goodness. And so we thank God that as we share faith in God, we also enjoy and trust in God's goodness. And so we must demonstrate God's goodness around us. I thank God for some people in this church who will take me out for a meal. They somehow know the best places to eat. I thank you, if you know who you are, for bringing me out for a meal. You always know where the best places to eat would be. But let me say to you that as a pastor and as a minister of the Word of God, we must demonstrate the goodness of God. And where can we enjoy God's goodness? Oh, taste and see, says the psalmist, that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. Share faith in God. Secondly, show love for Jesus. Our Lord Jesus came to save sinners like us. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, came down to earth to save sinful men and women like us. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Sinful man cannot save himself, but by the grace of God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, He will save us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's us. But we thank God that Jesus came to save sinners like us. Sinful men can be reconciled to the Holy God. How so? Well, Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive." The prayer from the cross is universal. It's meant for all. "Father, forgive." Jesus, while He suffered on the cross, He asked God to forgive all sinners like us. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so the Father, having forgiven the men and the women, the children that He has created, our sonship with God is restored. And this is the most beautiful thing that one can ever have, is to be restored in our relationship with God, our sonship with God, and of course the daughters also with God. "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power," and here the word "power" is authority, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to have this sonship relationship restored with God. We are like the prodigal son. We have gone each one to our own ways. We grieve the parents, our earthly parents. But more, we grieve our Heavenly Father. But Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. And therefore, the sonship is restored. And we thank God for that. And so Jesus came to save sinners, to show us the love of God in Christ Jesus. We thank God that sinful men can be reconciled to a holy God. And so I end with the third point: for us to seek Christ's kingdom. And we thank God for the church. For the church is a gathering of God's people. so that we may go out to bring others in, to preach the gospel to them, and to get them into the kingdom of Christ. Preach the gospel is the crying word for the church. And we do that. The gospel is good news. And it is wonderful that we can have this good news to share with others. There were many occasions when I was pastoring this church to go out witnessing, to go to View Road Hospital. If you do not know what View Road Hospital, you have to turn the pages of history of our area. There was a hospital along Admiralty Road called View Road Hospital. And I want to tell you that Brother William Sia and I, we went to View Road Hospital to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was wonderful. And 10 of them came to our church. And they were baptized in our church. We thank God for this open door of ministry. Now View Road Hospital is no more. If you go along Admiralty, you never find it. Or can you find it still? Maybe the building is still there. I have not had the latest walk up Admiralty. But there are other areas of ministry that we can be involved in. The Boys' Brigade ministry, for example. Let me encourage this church that not many BP churches have a Boys' Brigade ministry. You are unique. You have something which other BP churches have shunned and spurned. Why? And the reason is I was a Boys' Brigade myself. And I tell you, it was through the Boys' Brigade that I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so every avenue of service that can promote the gospel, let's grasp it and promote it and move on to save souls. Seek the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel. Witness for Jesus. Will we do it in our time and in our day? Before the opportunities will be lost and gone, you must seize the occasion. Seize the opportunity. I speak as a retiree now. I walk slowly. My words are very slow in coming out. My mind has blockages here and there. Only my wife can see that I have lost certain mental capacity. But you are young. Opportunities are plentiful. And I challenge you and charge you that you will not let opportunities go by, but that gospel can still be shared. If there's no View Road Hospital, there must be something else. Is Sealing School still available to you? If it is, keep on. Don't let it go. The last time I saw, when I was here, I saw many Boys' Brigade boys in their uniform. These are people whom you can share the gospel with. May the Lord help us to seek Christ's kingdom, to preach the gospel, to share the good news, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you build the church of God. This is the church of God. Through evangelism, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And these are the last words of Jesus. And these are important words. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teaching here is making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then when they come to you, you catechize them. You teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And the Lord Jesus says to you, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." I love New Life. The early years, some of you have gone out with me to evangelize. And I just remember our brother William Sia. He's still mobile, but on a wheelchair. But there was a time when he walked with me and we shared the gospel to the people in Woodlands. And there were others who went with me, and together we were able to share the gospel. May the Lord help each one of us that we never let go that opportunity. When I first came to New Life, MRT has not come yet. And so we had to take the long bus journey. Of course, I was resident pastor, but my poor dear wife teaches in ACS down in the city, and she has to take bus every day. But she was with me in the ministry of the Word of God in this church. And in the early years, our number was small. And some of you are still here with us. By the grace of God, I thank you for being so faithful. But the Word of God must go on, must go out, must be preached, must be shared. And so I come this morning to encourage you. There's still empty pews. I do not know whether you leave it purposely to demonstrate that these pews need to be filled. But if so, that's a good desire, that you fill the pews as you go out to share the Word of God. As you go out to bring them in to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad that I can come here to encourage you. I am not a well person, but I thank God I can still stand on my 2 feet. And I'm not sure how many more years the Lord will give to me, or how many more months or days left in my life. But if there's anything that I want to pass on to you, it's the gospel mandate. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May you be faithful to the Great Commission. Let us pray. Almighty Eternal Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have established the church here in Woodlands for your glory and for the saving of souls. May thou be pleased to use New Life to reach out to many who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. May thou bless the pastors and the session members, that they will lead in the way of righteousness and truth, that they will go out to bring the lost in. Thank you for your word, O Lord, and thank you for your people who have come to church this morning. For we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.